believe that God was gracious to us yesterday. I believe that His Spirit can be close to us. Let's just look forward to a wonderful time in His presence. Again, how many of you are special with me this morning? Amen. Many of you? Okay. I just wanted to know how we would go in the service, that because we have this day for prayer also, and you know, we just wanted to know whether we should pray collectively or minister individually, but we just hold your request in your heart, and may God just help us to just get right into the channel where faith could be inspired to us this morning, that the faith you can receive by His word, and just bring the Holy Spirit in this scene to minister to every need that you would have as an individual here this morning. When we leave, there could be a full, complete, total deliverance in this service. You just think about it that way. Expect it, believe it. Because we know God's word is true. And we're going to take His word and just apply it here this morning. Work with it and see the results that it brings. It always brings the same results. Prophecy, you take a seed and plant it in the heart of faith. It will produce after its kind. So let's just sing this little song with real faith. Real expectation, anticipating He will do it for us. Asking for it, something more than my yesterday. We don't have the music, but we have a melody in our hearts. Amen? That is more important than the music, because if you have the music and they have no melody in our hearts, it will finish as soon as the music is finished. When we have a melody in our hearts, you know, we have it whether we have the music or not, because it's inside of us. Something more. You just help me, because your melody is a little more melodious than mine. Amen? Amen. Something more than my yesterday. Something than my yesterday. More than I mind, you pray together with me. If you look unto Him this morning, knowing that He's here, He promised to be here. He keeps all of His promises. What an assurance we can have in our hearts to know that He keeps all of His promises. And if we have come here purpose to gather in His name, then He's here with us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow our hearts in Your presence this morning, we are thankful, Lord, to see that down through the ages, as it has been expressed in Your word, regardless of the circumstances, Lord, regardless of the move of the enemy, that try to prove that You do not keep Your word, You are proven to be a covenant-keeping God. You are proven to be a God who keeps all of Your promises, Father.
And we see that there is not one time, Lord God, in 6,000 years in the history of man upon the face of this earth, that you have ever failed in any way. And then God, after you have displayed these things so infallibly, showing beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, it is impossible for you to lie, and you cannot fail under no circumstances, for you are the Almighty, the Omnipotent God. And Father, you give us a promise. And Lord, if two or three is gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Lord God, may you let your Holy Spirit draw close to us, that, Lord, our sense of faith could be so inspired that we could sense the nearness of the Spirit of the living God in our midst, to know that you are here amongst us, Lord. As your prophet says, in another dimension like television, oh God, if you could change our scene, we'd see the angels in the pillar of fire and camp around about us. But Lord, we believe it because we know in our hearts, Lord God, you are true to your word. And Lord, we have brought your Spirit here inside of us, Lord. Oh God, as believers, Lord, gathering together and bringing our licks of fire, that this great pillar of fire, Lord, could be here, for you and your people have been united in this hour. Oh God and Father, we are looking forward that, Lord, through that uniting, all the needs, every promise that is spoken, all that your people have need of today, faith would be so charged in the hearts of the people. It would take these promises and operate them, Lord. It will make them manifest here, that your children could benefit, Lord. Lord God, of what they have need of, they could benefit and receive, Father, from you, the great Jehovah Jireh, who have provided for them, provided for their healing, provided for salvation, provided to give them the Holy Ghost, provided to meet every domestic need, every spiritual need, every financial need. You have provided, you have supplied every need, Father. The Bible says we've been already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And Father, we come with this anticipation in our hearts, looking unto you, Father, and asking with faith, oh God, knowing he that cometh unto you must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Lord, with all the diligence we can draw from our hearts, our souls, we come sanely, intelligently, right in the word this morning, confessing our sins, confessing our shortcomings, confessing our mistakes, our failures, where we have sinned and taught in the word and in deed, asking your precious blood, blood it out, Father, that this gathering here, Lord God, can be one so filled with your presence. And Lord, at the end of it, there can be such a deliverance. Lord God, every request that will be made before you in prayer, you would meet it and attend to it individually, personally, every individual today. And your children could benefit from being gathered here. They could be closer drawn to you, more strengthened, lifted up in the spirit, working on with more power and might, strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit of the living God. Granted, Father, just yesterday, taking that scripture, Lord, it says, Lord, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That is your word, Father. And you were so present with us yesterday. And we believe, oh God, even today you could prove that those words are true. And they are amen. So I pray, Lord, that you just help us in this service today. All them that are on their way, you bring them quickly. And Father God, you bring our hearts and minds in that channel of the Holy Spirit, where, Lord God, every heart could be in that place, where the Spirit of the living God can just manifest himself to the praise and the glory of your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise is wonderful. How many know the song, I am blessed, I am blessed? Amen, let's sing it. I don't know it too good, sir, but I just feel like singing that. So you, with your voice, you sing, I am blessed every day in my life, I am blessed. Amen. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen. It's 186 in the Believer's Songbook, if you don't know by heart. Amen. This is just a thing, maybe in the prayer meeting notes, and you sing. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I lay my head to rest. Mm-hmm. Amen. I think that's easy. We could all sing that, and I will sing like you're really blessed now. Amen. I am blessed
Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, one more time. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. Let's sing it. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day when I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Sing it again. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day when I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, one more time. I am blessed. Every day when I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Just something when you begin to lift your voices and sing and get in the Spirit. I tell you, He draws near to us. There's nothing that we have need of that He wouldn't meet, because that is what He promised. Amen. How great is our God. How great is His Word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea and said, I will lead you. Just put your trust in me. Amen. How great is our God. How great is His word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. That ever was heard. Oh, He rolled back the waters. He rolled back. That's what we believe in, that He will do for us this morning. Move back every obstacle of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Oh, let's put our trust in Him and sing it with all our hearts. How great is our God. Oh, He's greater than your problem. Amen. How great is His word. He can move every mountain today. He is the greatest one. Forever the same. He ruled by the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Oh, put your trust in me. In me. Amen. Let us pray one more time. Father, we pray today, Lord, seeing so many hands is lifted up, so many needs among your people today. But believing, dear God, a time like this, you can just come and work in this line of the Spirit and minister to those needs and build faith in the hearts of your people through your word. And Lord, prolong every stronghold of reason and imaginations and these things. Lord God, we will be able to reach out and take a hold of these things. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just send that inspiration down. Let it fall into the hearts of them that are needy. And Lord God, with that object that they are praying for, fixed before them, the Holy Spirit just inspire faith down through that channel, Lord. And Lord God, they will have such a positive assurance in their hearts that, Lord, it is done. That, Lord, they have received what they asked for. They shall have it, O God. That no obstacle will be to stand before them. They can be so persistent, Lord, to press through every obstacle, Lord God, and see what they see with their faith become a living reality before their very own eyes. Oh God, just speak your word to us in such a way. Weed out all the unbelief, weed out the fears and the doubts, the uncertainties. Them, Lord, at whom I believe like Saul, knowing that you are great and you can do everything and there's nothing that you cannot do. But Lord, we don't want that kind of faith this morning. We want faith like David, that who knows that you would do it, Father. Not that you could do it, Lord, but that you would do it. That you would do it now, you would do it in this service. Let that kind of inspiration fall, Lord. Not just for our senses to agree that it is right, but Lord, the bedding ground of faith, where faith could fall in and produce itself, Father. Where holy faith and holy works would go forth and create the very things. Oh God, we are designed that you would do. Oh God, may you grant that for us today. Blessed let the world be so inspired and create that faith, substance faith in our hearts. We pray and we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read with you in the scripture. So we're just going to just try to do that right in the end. I want to encourage you to believe. I'm just going to try to minister to help you with those needs, and God will be able to give it unto you. I had a couple of scriptures in my heart this morning that I came with in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians 1. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 1. Not 1 Corinthians. And also 1 Corinthians 9, that's what it was. And 2 Corinthians 1, both of them. Amen, yeah, that's good. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9 first. Verse 24. You listen to me real good today. The little while we're going to be here, and ask God to inspire his word to you. And listen in relation to the need that you have, what you believe in God for. So the Holy Spirit will be able to just take your faith and put it right on the thing that you are believing God for. And if there's any doubt or fear or uncertainty in your mind, let the word just take that away from you this morning. Just surrender to the word as your word will come forth. Don't use it to wrestle with the word. Just lay it down. Just pull down them strongholds of reasons and imaginations. And bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. In other words, run with purpose. Run with objective. You know, as you know, seeing this, something just struck me. But I'll be left this morning, and when we got up, you know, to pray with him before he left, but the guy who was coming to meet him just brought the morning paper for me. And I saw a blind man. There was a blind man running a race right in the front page of the Guardian in Technicolor. It's a marathon they had, and he had a string tied to his hand, and he had an extra runner, you know, with him, maybe the guide him to keep him on the road or something. And they had a man with 1 foot on crutches stand up there so overjoyed of seeing the stamina and the endurance of this blind man run this race, you know. And, you know, just as I read the scripture here, that they who run a race receive the prize. So run that you may obtain. Because any man can run a race. You see brothers just going to race to put on their athlete clothes and they just want to run. They run with everybody in the race. But they don't have no objective. Run with no purpose. Don't even understand the race they're running in. And they look like a runner because they're in the race and they have on athlete clothes. Don't just be have on athlete Christian clothes and going to church this morning. Run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, that's the man who running to obtain. He's striving for something. He's running for the prize. See, he had his mind fixing the goal before him. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. All them things that he's going to meet during the course of the race. Every obstacle. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beat at the air. Hear what Paul is saying? You see, I run, but not as uncertainty. You see, this race I run in, I have an objective before me. And this fight that I am fighting in, he says, I don't fight as one that beat the air. You know, man can just fight and beat the air. You're using all your energy, but every time you throw a blow, it's air you hit. So all that strength went to waste because you never really contact your object that you're trying to hit. If a man is fighting, after four rounds in the fight, he's all weary and hanged on. He can't even lift up his hands. Use all his energy, and he didn't hit the opponent yet. Wasting time, you see. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Also, we want to take our other scripture, 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, but we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen? We are not ignorant of his devices. We don't want to fight, just want to beat at the air. We are not ignorant of his devices. And one more scripture that I want to take, Proverbs 25, verse 28. I'm ministering this morning with a certain objective in mind. As I said, we are here to try to work in the line of the Spirit, to minister to different needs, to build your faith. At the end of this service, when we pray for these needs, there could be a contact made. Not a fleshly contact, my hand on you, or something, but our faith in God's word. That's the contact we can establish, our faith in God's word. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. May God address you in his word. You never see. Now, for the next few moments that we are going to be here, we want to take God's word. When I ask how many of you had needs this morning, because I wanted to know whether we should just go down and pray collectively, but I told you we don't have no set pattern of doing things in the sense of making like a formality that we're going to come like a prayer meeting. We have prayer meeting when everybody go down and pray on Fridays. But we come that the needs that is in the hearts of the people, individual needs, we can minister to those needs. You can understand God have made these things available. You can understand it's only your unbelief that keeps you away from it. If you don't know it's God's will and you stand there knowing what God could do, but you don't know it's God's will, then faith cannot be inspired in your heart to get what you know God could do. The problem is never what God could do. God could do it. There's nothing impossible with God. The problem is whether we have faith to believe God. The problem is whether we will accept that God has paid the price and want to give it to us. As a matter of fact, the word of God says, God wants to give it to you more than you desire it. So then it means to say, how willing you are to accept that God is speaking the truth. And it's something about faith. Since it's not of the body and it's not of the spirit, you have to come by revelation. But your spirit don't have faith. Your spirit is reason, conscience, memory, affection, imagination. Your body is see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. But your soul, the real you, that soul inside there is faith or unbelief. And That's the realm you have to go in. Because in a man, emotion, he can be enthused, and his imagination, you know, he may see an imaginary, a mental picture of what he wants. But he finds that when an obstacle confronts him, the imagination has no power. It's just like an illusion to get a hold of. But faith is something real. So the thing with people is now, they mentally say, I believe. While they stand there, I believe it. But when they stand with the obstacle before them, then reasoning starts to express himself. And you see who really was believing. It was reasoning. Because reasoning, see it. If I walk through the door, I get it. Nothing hard in that. But reasoning, if you didn't maybe realize you're going to have some obstacles to face, when the first obstacle comes and you can't reason that away, then right there, you come to a standstill and you postpone what you want. You say, maybe not for today. Maybe God give me that next time. Maybe God ain't ready to give it to me. And all those things go on within you. It's not nothing outside, it's internal. Because if internally, when the obstacle comes, you say, obstacle, you have to move because God don't show me this mind. Then there is no more obstacle inside of there. Because the obstacle going to have to move. Because what you see, you desire more. The desire for what you see is greater than the strength the obstacle have over your spirit to influence you. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is then that from the time within you change, the thoughts within you change, that what is dear to you becomes a hindrance to you. Now, we are taking this channel in the scripture here. Because I come up this morning, you know, I was praying before I come. I said, Lord, you know, what am I going to tell the people this morning? Should I just continue, you know, in a certain line or try to just see what kind of needs there is among the people? But the scripture came coming to me, and I had something I wanted to speak for a little while. I've been walking the book for the past 3 or 4 services. I've been walking the book. But I would never get to the place to take out and read what I wanted to read from it. But it is in relation to receiving any promise of God. And since, you know, we've been dealing a lot, most of the service we've been dealing a lot on teaching about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit and these things. But also I want you to know in receiving the Holy Spirit is a promise, just like any other promise. And you're going to be hindered from receiving that promise, just like any other promise. And you're going to have the fight to take that promise, like the other fight to take Canaan land the same way. Because Canaan land was the dispensation of overcoming. To him that overcome will inherit the promise. And if you have to overcome, there's a battle. But the battle is within you. Because God gave you the Holy Spirit. God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision when God recognized his faith. That he believed God. So the thing is then that your whole fellowship, as you've been saying, praying to the God inside of you, having faith in the God inside of you. The whole Christian life is inside. It's not outside. It's not an outside thing. I've been even take the series recently about inside life. Inside life is a life, hidden life in Christ. It's something in the inside. And the reason believers don't really get the victory and don't be able to keep the victory and they're able to maintain the atmosphere after God has revealed things to them. It's not that they just know it. It's that they can't make it work for them. Some of them see it work a little bit and they get shaken out of it. And they stay longer out of it than they stay longer in it. So they got a constant fight to get in the atmosphere. Because most of their life is outside. Struggling to climb in. And when they get in, like, oh, they've been enjoying the blessing of God for a couple of days. Boom, and they get shaken back out on the outside again. And they start struggling to get back in there again. And then they begin to, right there, when you begin to see that kind of inconsistent behavior in your own life, right away, Satan have a lot of doubt to give to you. You ain't have what you claim. You ain't this, you ain't that, you ain't the other. But you see, the thing is, you may just need to be trained to use what you have. You may not know how to use what you have. Probably say, oh, you have the word, sure. But you take a strong hand of faith to hold it and plunge it in the heart of the enemy. You can see any man, you know, walk up there with a sword and brandish it and say, you know, nice, everybody wants a Bible, a nice new Scofield, or a nice new Thompson chain, or a nice new something like that, and they hold over their heart like the prophet and different things. But even when the enemy comes, you got to take that and use it against the enemy. You only have a nice, pretty Bible over your heart, and you're on an outside picture. Because not so much, the devil is watching whether you have a Thompson chain, or you have a Scofield, or whether your Bible has concordance, or your Bible, the devil is watching that. Devil will watch if you can take the word and use it. That's what God is interested in. You see? So your real desire, your real channel, if you don't have purpose, if you don't have objective, you know, you really wouldn't be able to achieve anything. People, you know, you look many times and see the quality of perseverance. So many times the prophet preached perseverance, perseverance, perseverance. And it makes you wonder, when God was sending forth the message of this hour, he knew every ingredient that was going to be necessary for the bride with all that she was going to have to meet along the way. And God, who was speaking to a prophet, was speaking everything that the bride would have need of for whatever she would face, whatever situation she would be. God knew the enemy that was going to come against the bride. And the message was for what? Preparation. So when he keeps speaking perseverance, perseverance, it means that it was going to have, this bride is going to have to be perseverant. Because it was a speak, he was going to speak many other things. But God took out that woman in the Bible and showed an attitude and showed that the type of age we're living in, you didn't have that attitude. Let me tell you, you can't go against the current. Perseverance is the people going against the current. If you're going downstream in the current, it doesn't wash over the world. But if you had to go against, if you had to go upstream, if you had to go against the current, if you're against the tide of the world and all the demon powers, you have to be persistent. Because being persistent means you gain this land and it pushes you back. And again, it pushes you back a little more. And you have to be determined to be pushed back and bounce back. Not push back and get discouraged, that you progress slow. Because perseverance is a thing that don't take its eyes off of its goal. He says, perseverance means to be persistent to achieve a goal. He says that after you have a revelation of God's will, then you can be persistent. Now, a lot of people try to be persistent without a revelation of what God's will is. So there's no direct channel where they're pushing the energy. And if they're pushing the energy as a direct channel, they will be convinced in their heart that that is God's will. That is for this day. That is promised to me. Now, which one of us in our right minds, after we see God prove all his promise by operating in the prophet and waving it to us in his day, telling us, in other words, not that the prophet great, but that this is true, is a true promise. Look at this book. These are true promises in this book. Mark 16, John 14 is a true promise in this book. Hebrews 14 is a true promise in this book. Acts 2 is a true promise in this book. And every true promise in the Bible, God says, the Bible is not a history book. It's working. This is things working. This is your title deed. This is inheritance. They tell you what belongs to you. So when you see these things working, and we are convinced it is working, because a measure of it have worked for us already. The very fact that you hear it working. How does it mean the world? What take the devil off of you? Then if that God could have taken spirits off of you in the world and bring you here, it's same demon power that produce sickness in the body. Because they have demonology in the physical realm and demonology in the spiritual realm. It's just demonology. And the same spirit that make a person have a wrong attitude, the same spirit is going to have cancer or a tumor. One you see in the body with the eye, one you see in the spirit by the person's attitude. And the thing is, the one in the spirit is far more stronger many times. Because, but a person could get healed right here and go along and be unsaved. A person could go to church and think they're serving God and be held in darkness there for years, healthy in the body and everything else. Have evidence of being healed. So that then we realize that to have faith, it must be placed in something. It must be in a certain specific channel.
To be persistent, you must know that thing there, God promised that. And you must, before you believe in God for any promise, you must first believe God promised that. Okay? Believe it that God promised it. You, some of you may want to be healing this morning. Some of you may have a financial need. Some of you may have a spiritual problem. When you lift your hand, yeah. But the thing is, what is he believing for? I want to pause here, right here. Before we continue the service right here. What is he believing for this morning? You know in your heart right here. And let me tell you, you don't look for 4 and 5 and 16 one time. Like a scatter shot, no. Faith is zeroing on the target. Unless it's not in your heart right there. Unless it's not in the need. Unless it's not in the right purpose. Now if you're trying to find a thing you want to believe for, you need nomination. The thing is, it's something right there that stands before you. It's the Holy Spirit you may need in your life. I love to be able to tell you, Lord, take this attitude. Lord, take this, Lord, take this. And you're trying to get 5 or 6 different things in your life that you're asking God to take away as a sign that you're looking for. Well, I need to need the attitude device. No, you don't need 5, 6 different things to take. You need the Holy Ghost. Right there, you need the Holy Ghost. See, some people don't understand what they need. They say, Lord, this temple could get away from temple. And Lord, take this. And Lord, take this greedy spirit. And Lord, take this covetous spirit. And Lord, take this over here. Well, you just need the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I know I need the Holy Ghost. Right there, settle. Then if you need a healing, and oh my, it's a cancer, it's a tumor, it's some disease that you have in your body or something, say, Lord, this. I've been praying for you, I've been struggling. And maybe I've been coming the way there that have not been the right way. But, you know, let my faith be anchored in right there. If today my faith will be fastened, then maybe when sight and time fight me over the years and I back down and the devil overcome in my mind, let this day be the day today that it will be so fastened that regardless of what battle rage here, I know it's settled here. That the whatever time it has after wait, I can wait until it's made manifest. But I know it's finished when my faith anchors here. You understand what I'm saying? No, what I'm saying, I'm trying to get this church to a place where we build up, where we know what is happening. That's why half the time you hear people come to the line and says, brother, you know, I prayed for 3 things. I need this. And then maybe 3 months they come back and they never look in the life after 3 months to see what God did. They prayed and never expected to receive it. They never look forward. They never believe God was going to do it. They never maybe observe the progress in their life afterwards. Because you know, it was just like trying to find something. No, faith is not like that. Faith is a revelation of God's will. It's been revealed to you right there. The Holy Spirit is making it plain to you and showing you that He is God. He knows about it. And He's going to attend to it. Now, right there, when God is doing to you, open to you. Brother Abraham says, the people in the line, but all the people in the congregation there, he says, now this woman here, he says, she. The pillar falls right next to the woman. He says, what's happening? No, that don't only be in that meeting. That's been this meeting. It's just we have the gift to look in the next realm and see what the pillar of fire is. But the word he was speaking, they was having faith in the word. He says, what you feel just now, woman, that little feeling there, he said, in the realm, I see it up here, moving, circling. He said, when I see it come down upon the person there, it dropped down like that. He said, no, that is when they get it. You see? So the thing is, then he explains, he said, what's happening? It's just the word lifting their faith to the healing level. He said, there's a level where healing takes place. And that gift used to help the people's faith recognize Jesus Christ present, but couldn't heal them. That's why he said, if you come in this suit, he can't heal you now. Because you already did it. He's going to point you to the atonement. No, as I said last week, He had the gift and went in the realm and bring out to us the understanding of that realm so we can know the approach. Because He was sent to teach us and His life was to open the way for us. That is why now we know the approach to these things. And when we come, we don't come into our feelings, we come knowing the approach to these things. And you come knowing you're a child of God and it promised to you. And you're just approaching God in the manner let go to quiet because you go down the road to follow them to get a, you know, something there in the bank or something. They say follow the form. If you follow that form, though the money in the bank belong to you, you can't get it. It have a way, it have to be administrated, and God have an administration. 1 Corinthians 12 says the same spirit that give different kind of diversity of gifts, diversity of operations, differences of administrations. But all the same spirit. And this is where people in the spiritual realm have to really break in to see and understand the working of the Holy Spirit. And this is by the grace of God what we want to catch here. The working of the Holy Spirit, that faith becomes simple. The channel becomes simple. When something comes, we know to approach God. We know to pray. We know to put in the hands of God. And we settle in our hands because we know what pleases God. Now, there is nothing nobody could do after the meet God requirement. It is the end of what they could do. The rest is God responding. And God responds because he promised to respond if you meet his requirement. So then it means your confidence in the one that you're approaching. You have to have confidence in him after you have done his will. Then you stand still and say, Lord, I did your command. Lord, if there's anything I didn't do, show it to me, let me do it. See? That's why he said, be certain of God. After you have met the requirement, stay there until God answers. Because there's nothing you can do further. You do it on the your faith comes because it is revealed to you God can't lie. Abraham knew it was impossible for God to lie, so he could endure. If your faith comes by any other thing, it's not in the world. Because your faith is coming by a revelation of God's will. What God say he will do. God say, you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. God say, you plan to baptize me in Jesus Christ, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. Exactly right. And you, in obedience to God's word, not a hearer but a doer, receives what God promised. Because through faith and patience, Abraham inherit the promises of God. So look here now, Paul is talking about running a race. He said, know you not that they all who run in a race run all? Oh, the gun take off, pow! And everybody get in that race. Now, many times you go in a race, a man say, I just love sports. I just love to run. But he may not know his distance. He may be a sprinter. We will have all categories of race. And this race now of life is a race too. Because the Holy Spirit took a race and put it here. And then let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Even in Hebrews 12, when Paul is preaching, he said, we are so encompassed with a great cloud of witnesses. And what he's talking about is the people on the field looking back in the pavilion and all the people in the pavilion, like in the Olympics, who run the heats already, who finished their course. They sit down now. And he's saying, we now is the ones outside there running and come encompassed with this great cloud of witnesses. And he begins to give an account. He says, look at how Abraham run. Look how Isaac run. Look how Jacob, Joseph. And he begins to go along the heroes of faith, all in their time of life, who had to run in the same race. But the thing was, by faith. And he's telling, he's telling the church who is running with him in that age. He says, only one going to receive the prize. That's the overcomers. That's the winners. He says, so run that you may obtain. In other words, he's telling them, don't just come in here with track shoes, track pants. Don't just walk out here and strut up and down, you know, and, you know, you buy a certain brand name. You know, people have all these things. And they have, what they really have is a costume. Because if the spirit is not identified with the clothes, or the clothes don't really identify the spirit, it's a costume. So when you really wear a long dress, you're the person, the world, a worldly spirit, having a Christian costume. And you don't want to be a worldly person having a Christian costume. You don't be a holy person who really like a grow a beard or mustache or yard broom or something. You don't really want to do that. You know, and you are like a clean countenance. Only because the world say clean countenance. Otherwise, you're a costume. You are acting a role. Like when Charlton Heston was at Moses, he grew a beard, he took a staff. After that, pity finished. You know, see, he walk about no staff and all along the street saying, let my people go and these things. You know, say, come and call you as Zipporah? No, he's just acting something, he's playing a role. So the thing is, a lot of people is like that. While they're on the set, they have on the costume and they walk on the church like the bride. And they talk all the bride talk and thing. And when they get home, they're off the set. They're resting between filming. Sure. So they come back onto the civilian identity. So next service, they know, they're back on the set again. And they talk about the super church and the super race and, you know. And they that atmosphere. So then, when you watch now, in the Bible, it had real, Moses a real man. Moses was never no set. When Moses met God, Moses was that and Moses is still.
He ain't no different. So Paul is saying, look, he said, run. Because back there, they were seeing so many. Like he speak a lot about running. You know, Paul had loved the Olympics, I guess. Because the man used a lot of these things to express. He's a Roman citizen. See? And the thing was that back there, you know, he says, let the feeble hands hang down. That when the runner tired. And the lame feet get on the path. And these get all wobbly. And you know, so much oppression in the mind here and strain and lack of stamina that he can no longer see the prize. He is a blurred vision of the runners in front of him. And quickly, you know, this man will collapse. This man going to fall down or something. Then secondly, he says, look, every man who's striving for his mastery now must be temperate in all things. It's like your mastery this morning will be the goal you have. If it's the Holy Spirit, if that's the prize that you have right before you this morning, or your healing, whatever your objective is. He said, you have to be temperate. Because sometimes when they're running, I remember I preached a message on running there for the young people once, showing them that what the race is like. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Keeping your eyes at the end. And it's something like this. You know, they have some of these races they call marathon races, and then they have cross-country races. And the cross-country races, some of y'all run through a stream and run up a hill, and then they have some hurdles, and you have to jump over them hurdles. They're among the different kind of obstacles because they choose the organizers of the race. They choose the part that's going to bring out skill, endurance, stamina, guts. Everything that will show this runner is not just a man with two legs alone. But this man, you know, really is a man. This man is a champion. A man who's going to win a race like that. And the Lord who planned this race of life in this age, he knows your bouts of sicknesses you're going to have. Even before you inherit that body. It has certain sicknesses is hereditary. Do you know that? Prophet teach us those things too. Medical science will verify that. He said, because this body's hybrid. And remember, he said the natural birth is more mystery than the virgin birth. Because God knows which gene they're going to cause you maybe to carry a disease in life. He knows which sperm carrying the traits of that disease. And you're going to inherit that body. And that child is going to bear those things. And you're going to even pay. The family will be recompensed for things done in that same family flesh. 2-3 generations before. Coming on the children. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Then God know. It has certain things there in life. Going to come on. They're going to be a test for them to shape and mold the character to make them rise up like Congressman Upshaw, 60 something years in a wheelchair. But one day they're going to go into a meeting. But God wait until the man gets to the White House and become a real big congressman, and then God went for him. If God had just taken him when he was an ordinary man, ordinary school boy, it would be nothing. But it was that from the White House, he would proclaim on the steps of the White House that God had a prophet in the generation. And God had all that in mind. Now what's something? Yet that man with the determination, in that condition, if he had his two legs, he might have never reached the White House. He might have gained involved in something else. But sicknesses and things that put people in condition that bring certain things out to them. But all that things is pre-planned by God. God knows the devil going to use that as one of his weapons, and God come and die on the cross and pay the price for it, even as a counter to that weapon the devil is going to use too. So there's no way the devil is going to lock you in that God and put a key to open that door to let you out. And when you're faced with your circumstances, you must know that God in his word, when God lays word out, this was the weapon that was going to overcome the enemy. The battleground was going to be right in your mind. And the word was going to be in your heart. And your spirit was going to be the gates of the enemy. And you will have to possess every gate of the enemy in fighting on that battleground right inside of you. That is why if you have a battle in England and you're in Trinidad, you're free from the battle. No. If you have a battle in America, you're free from the battle because you're in Trinidad. No. Every man on the earth is in the battle. It came to the human race. It didn't come to a country. You know how to be, let me tell you, you know how to be in Biafra and Ethiopia to go through famine and hardship. You know how to be in Haiti to go through social unrest and these things. No. What they see in the country and the fear. Because remember, the people who are wrong, it depends on what happened to them. It's the fear, the doubt, you see, the terror that they face in these things. And you right there, and God could bring that right in your very home. And you in your very home could face brutality that you know the only stories. Sure. As some people know a drunk father, brother who will beat and kick and cough and ill-treat. They don't get police brutality. And which is greater? The one home. The one home is greater than the police. That's an unbeliever could do that. But when it's supposed to be family right there. Let me tell you, life is made of... When I was a young Christian, I think, Lord, you mean say, people now coming, we're going to rapture just so, and you know, some people have to serve God and go through some different things. Like some people have it easy, and some people don't go through those trials and have it easy. And then I realize that's my foolish, immature thinking. But that is not the battle. The battle is right here. And God even make up this body. Remember, but I'm talking about when I preach back there sometime to you about the German boy, he said, I tell that girl, never marry that boy. And you're going to take the family lines and say, the fact that you come from a German family, that a hard German spirit. And certain traits there, and then this other family here, and those genes cross there. You should look at him, tell you how he had the temper like the boss saw, because he came from the Irish blood. His father and them was fighters, and then it came with that Cherokee blood from the mother side. Sure. And when those things get inside him, the temper tantrums and the violence that he could experience there. Brother, to fight those things off, and the kind of hate of thoughts of hate and revenge that Satan can hold him in there for days. A man can shake up that because you have a happy-go-lucky nature to even bother with that. But he gets trapped in something else. So then he's going to realize the world and overcome is not out there. It's not out there. It's inside you right here. And the battles. And when you realize it then, you realize that God put people in different ages and different times to overcome. But each one, it was going to take Christ in them to overcome. They have their own self can overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Is he in you is the victory. See, now what? So Paul is saying, he said, run that you may obtain. And believe that you may receive. Don't just believe and say, yeah, I believe, to make a confession or to agree that the thing is right. But believe that you may receive. Be persistent that you may achieve unless your spirit is not in that attitude. You're not going to get nothing. Now, he says, they do it. That they might up a couple of gongs. He said, no, so. So he was watching that race and says, so I just run. And so I just fight. Now, you know, running is a big thing today. And right now, every day, almost the papers you read, these runners who are taking all these steroids and different things try to enhance their performance. They call it perform enhancing drugs. They kind of make them perform in a way above what the normal ability would do. And they're injecting a lot of substances in them. So that's a perversion of the real thing. But you see, the thing is, those men break records and produce accomplished feats that was imaginary. That's an imaginary thing. Because back generations ago, in the days of the other runners, when food wasn't hybrid, and man was man, and man grew up without all the polluted and these things, and man used to chop wood and do different hard work and different things, not like this soft hybrid generation. And those men run them distances. Yeah, this today, men eating hybrid food, the body weaker, the human body degenerate more corrupted, and yet accomplishing feats that those men back there, strong and healthier, could accomplish. Because of the substances injected into them. They're receiving things that producing such a strength in the human body and building tissues in these things. Now, as I said, that's a perversion, but in the word here, God is pointing another life in you. Because God ain't expecting you to run and overcome your own strength. It's Christ's strength, Christ's faith, and Christ's virtue, and Christ's knowledge. Instead of a perfect man, he calls it a blood transfusion. That he's taking out what you and he's pumping certain things inside of you. Now look at it. In them past ages, we're going to accomplish things in this age that they're going to overcome in them past ages. Now we will even change in this body. As great as all them ages were, death take every one of them to the ground. And here in this age, and he's saying, there's so fight I as one that not one billion, because we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Now they fight now. Because if you are to overcome, you are to fight. And if you are to fight, you must know strategy. So when he's saying now, so fight I, not as one billion, and we're not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, he is talking about strategy. Now if you're a fighter, you must have strategy. The thing with a lot of people is they have no strategy. You read the message, the contest. Take it, greatest battle ever fought. Wisdom versus faith. God versus Satan. The contest. What is he talking about? You're going to meet your enemy. The prophet is going to tell the bride, you're going to have to meet the devil before you go back to Eden. Because the devil took you out to Eden. And my bride is born of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's why I say about my bride. I say my bride is part of me. So to prove you is my bride, you had to meet him because I overcome him when I met him. He's going to be of good cheer because I will be in you. So he told us we're going to meet the enemy. He told us we're going to have an enemy. But how are you meeting him? You know how you meeting him? He's right behind that sickness sometimes. You're right behind that problem in your home sometimes. You're right behind that financial need right there. And you're running the borrow here, and you're running the loose, and you're running the beg here. And you're losing the battle. And your flesh glad because your immediate need solved and you ain't going through no pressure. Because your real objective is, I ain't want no pressure. As easy as I can make life for me, as smart as I can use my head, I good. You're only fooling yourself. You come without any character. And Boaz was looking for character. Eliezer went to look for character. But God didn't want a wife without character. Because Satan can offer you the things of the world, the king of the world, and you're going to take it. And you'll prove it to his wife because he spit it out. You see what I'm saying? I hope you get it, you know. Don't feel bad if it hits you, you know. Is that a clean yard? Is it a clean yard? But don't feel bad. And I say, give me that stinking unbelief. Give me that fear and doubt. And take this faith. Strategy. On the contest, they study how your enemy fights. You see when a man going to fight a boxer, you see what he leans forward, or he hangs back, or if he fasts in the feet, or if the weapon is in the hands, or if he's a puncher, or what he is. If that man is a man that punch hard, the other guy's going to build up the belly here, and, you know, but harden the head, and to take, he had to prepare to take punches. He had to try to be able now, if the man has speed, he had to build speed too. To be able to match the enemy. So if you don't know your enemy, you don't know what sickness do. All you know is have a devil somewhere out there, like you don't have God somewhere. You never go out and say, you know the devil is going to do it. You know what's going on. Because remember when God was fighting them back, they tell Joshua, they lay ambush here, do this here, grow here. Is that right? They don't fight him here, leave it alone. Sure. They know, God knows what he's doing. But Abraham said, he said, I stood there in India, I watched them, I said, when you want to listen, now God is fighting a battle, you know. He said, I listened to all them for the whole day. I said, gentlemen, I listen to all of you. I'd like to invite you now to listen to me tonight. Get a place and put all of them in the platform, in the spot where you want them. Where before all the masses of people could point to the leaders and give them a challenge. He said, and then you had seen the vision, you see the blind man, different things, he's going through, he's waiting there. He said, and then, when the vision broke and I know it was set, he said, I brought the blind man to the platform, called for a doctor, examined the man before everybody to make sure. He was rushing to pray there, you know. He had a tight. There was no escape. Let the doctor verify the man is blind. Everybody look at the man is blind, stone blind. How did he become blind? Question the man, worshiping the sun, following the gods. Turn around to them now and say, was I with you all the other day? Sure, did I listen to you all? Sure. I invite you all, I'm glad you all came. Now, I am going to renounce Christ and serve your God. If your God can heal this man here, then I give us my sight. And if your God can give this man his sight and Christ give back his man his sight, then you owe it to renounce your God and serve my God. Oh, he says, I laid a challenge when the vision was revealed. He had the enemy caught on the spot. Yeah. Because the devil had them people blinded with that false idol worship all of the years. If the devil through deception take over the man's sight. But make the man do it through a form that the man is conscious. That he's so deceived that the sight God give the man to move around, the devil takes from him by making him think he was doing God a service. But God was there to set the man free. And God had one trained to know how to battle with the enemy. And your home could never really have the peace, the joy, the order, the discipline if you don't know the enemy. How are you going to do it? Because the enemy is not is not out, you know, that he can't come in your home. The enemy have access to your home. You know, out of bounds to him. God give the enemy privilege about you to come in your home. But the thing is, God knows he's going to train you for it. And you have to know strategy. And when you know the enemy's strategy, that's what we have all this thing in the world for. Look how he moved through Haman. When he thought, oh, he had a foolproof plan. But then look how God moved through Mordecai and Hatash and them and Esther. Look how to conquer that plan. Look at the enemy moved through Jezebel. See? Look at God moved through my kind Elijah and them to conquer that plan. Always. God always does that. Look at the enemy moved through the Jews and them. Look at God had a man with my gate beautiful to come back and conquer the very thing. To show that the Jesus they tried to kill was still alive right there. And Peter started testifying because they're trying to pay people to say the man dead, they stole the body, different things. But here they're doing the same work. They take note that Jesus was with Jesus. God always does that. God is a man of war. You know that? And we are soldiers. But to put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in this evil day. In In this evil day when medical science comes in, Satan put one big intellectual doctor there. What are you examining? He said, look, woman, you're going to die. You have 3 days to live. And he watched them take a glass and put on his nose there. And he watched them chat. He said, see this here, this here, this here. You can't live. My. And God has some poor, illiterate, halfway 2x4 preacher trying to tell you, God works by his stripes to heal. And you sit down right there, between wisdom and faith. And it's in your mind. Sure. And you say, well, after all, the doctor, you know, I mean, the man right. The man studied that, you know. And the preacher, we need to show, you know, that God will heal. I mean, after all, he had a turnback collar, he had a purple robe, and he had a big altar, and he had them things. See? And right there, you get trapped. Because it's right in your mind. Wisdom with a faith. Because this world is built on wisdom. And this world has built itself and its image, projected its image in such a powerful way. That if you're poor, you feel belittled. You have no education, you feel ignorant. You have no money and influence and good clothes, you know, you feel shame and embarrassed. And you get a little better set of clothes, you're a heifer. Sure, it changes you still just sin dress up in modern styles. But I'm trying to show what this world built on. What is the power of this world? Is it a bluff? Let me tell you, with my no education, I sit down with people with physicists. When I went to Norway, the brother there is a physicist. The man that's put on plants like FedChem and running by computers. In other words, what I'm saying, FedChem and them plants ain't like the kind of plants that man has put down there. And talking the word to the man crying for days, the man weeping. Every time we start to talk the word of God here. And the man says, it's all he's good before. I just cut some grass and a little truck. Sure! But you think that he's selling that? You think he's selling that as a big physicist at the feet of this man here? He's seen my flesh, he's seen God's word. And let me tell you, if today tomorrow I had a walk in one of my office without the anointing, I mean, I myself may feel intimidated. Because they designed in the position to belittle you and let you know you're inferior to them. What do you want? Come here. Okay, I'll talk to you in a little while. He watches there. Then he got a glance like some worm in the corner. He has spent a lot of time to look at you and talk to you. Sure. And that's only a bluff, that's wisdom, there's no faith in it. Let me tell you, brother, Elijah walk under a sheepskin and a staff. Let me tell you, if you see Elijah today, if God transported me, that's how he was, you might think he's a vagrant. And you ain't got no faith and no vagrant if you're watching the flesh. But when that man walk up them steps there, he said, no, you are really calling right until I call faith and walk back out. That was Almighty God. Then a prophet, when he stood and challenged them 400 prophets, you think he was wondering, I wonder if God didn't back me up? He said, Lord, as you showed me the vision, Father, let the fire fall. Sure. In other words, he didn't study whether I had a 3 pieces to go and see Ahab. Or whether I borrow, you know, a Mercedes and drive down, so I'll kind of be on his level to talk to him. No! We just get overpowered by the world. That's why Jesus said, the children of darkness is wise and the children of light. They go there and they fool the laws of high terminology and blind you from God's word. He said, the God of this world have blinded their minds from the gospel. And Paul said, no, but he said, consider God as using the base things, the weak things, the confounded things that are mighty. He said, God, you use the things that are not to bring to nothing the wisdom of the wise. God is making foolishness. Sure. Because why? It's a battle. And the battle becomes human battles. We get caught up in the battle. Because when the battle wrong, you know, had to be chosen for the war to go on. Satan says, you kick me out of heaven. And you feel powerful. Because you're up there to tell the angels. Let me get a fight you on my ground now. God said, where it is. He said, give me inside them people right there. Give me inside their minds. God shall take you on anywhere, beat you anywhere. Amen. I beat you anywhere. You want to fight in the mines? That's where the battle is going to be. From now on. Sure. When Moses is and full up Moses, married all our wisdom there. See? Full up, you know, Peter mind with all the fish and all kind of different things. God is going to sort of move through their minds by the word being spoken to them. That word is going to drop down that soul, and those men are going to put on their mind of Christ himself. We know the wisest man that walked this generation was that prophet. Man said and talked to the doctor. He said, weep and cry there. Scientist, the man talked to the science ain't fine yet. He didn't talk and know. And went. Without any of that, this patient didn't even need it. He didn't need a test on these things to go where the land they're looking for. Sure. And what's something? So then when we see these things, can't you realize what God is doing? Then we can't afford to be intimidated and overpowered by the world. Now we look at the big, huge. I know everything that the world built with it. A huge skyscraper, massive sun. Look up at it like that. See the man walk out there, but drop in some limousine or something, walk out there and it overpowers us. We stagger. See, they build things to make an impression upon you. See, tower over you. But the Christian, simple, humble faith that know that God, word is true. I mean, you give them the respect. Sure, mister. Sure, you're my boss. You give me respect. Sure, I pray for you. And, you know, I ain't going to try to play every man is the devil. No. You ain't stupid. You see? You go, yeah, you know people don't relate to them. Because a Christian, you're ambassador for Christ. You can present Jesus Christ. You can show him how lovely he is. Amen. You see? But the thing is, there's a power that moves in your heart. And if that man, that same man come in your home, he might have his big mansions, present acres of ground and different things. And he come in your simple home, like the prophet walking there. He say, I've been in the homes of kings. I've been in palaces. He said, but I never felt more welcome to walk in that little home there. He said, a little plaque say, God bless our home there. He said, a little Bible up on the table. You know what I'm saying? Here it is, a humble heart that caught such a faith that could entertain a prophet of God, God in flesh walking inside here. To show how when God, Jehovah himself, came hide in a stable in a barn. Powerful as ever. Hiding a man from Nazareth who talked in the common language and the common people heard him gladly. But it was God himself who stood and said, greater than Solomon is here, the wisest of all men. Now watch. So that fight for life, just trying to be the climax here. And we must have strategy. When Paul was speaking here, I don't fight as one that beat the air and run that you may obtain and be temperate. He's talking in terms of strategy. Don't waste efforts. Know how to utilize your energy. Know how to utilize your strength. Know when you throw a punch at the enemy, it's going to find its mark. You have the patience to wait, to know just when to move, how to move, what to do. You know, flustered and run. And then what you do, you create more problems than you had before. You know, sometimes somebody give you the word. Say, okay, brother, I'm going to meet you Friday. We're going to attend to sons and so. You have my word, everything will be settled. But you will feel comfortable. They call you up every day from Monday to Friday. I come in there, Friday 7, okay? Call again. I come in there, Friday 7. I have the money, right? You get it? Hold before and say, yeah, hold it in your hand. Feel it. You know. You want to get it there? Okay, right? First of it, satisfy. You see, it's like a mind balance. Better ask this one because I ain't too sure something. Better ask this one. I ain't too sure. You have about 5 different people now, you ask already. And you're right there because you ain't too sure. I mean, you're full of unbelief. You're full of mistrust. But you're thinking you're wise. Because those things, when God promised something, God promised he'll deliver them, they say, whether God delivers or not. And God waited until the last moment. And the fire only had enough time to break the bands. And God was in the sea. But Abraham said, God, test me until 3:10, until the last school came. He went to the distance for 4 o'clock until the last school by 10 o'clock. First to come quick. And the last one, he waited and waited and waited. And he watched that clock coming down. 9:45. 9:50. 9:55. 9:40. You have a couple of minutes to prove your faults. And God is with you. You know what I'm saying? He show up right there just in time because God is true to his word. But he tested him to the final point. He come right back and pick up Abraham and said, look at God, test Abraham on the mountain there. And the knife was coming down. He built the altar, no ram. He packed the wood, no ram. You have all the light the fire, no ram. He bind the son, no ram. He put the son on the altar, no ram. He pick up the knife to slay the boy, no ram yet. And God was there all the time. You know what I'm saying? God does it that way. So he could display his victory and his character through you. If we have unreservedly given our life, why should we be overcome with all these mind battles and all these different things? No, you shouldn't be. You have to fight to possess what has been revealed to you as yours. When Israel went to Canaan land, Joshua said, Dan, according to what Moses said here, this is yours. According to what Jacob blessed you, according to your mother grown in childbirth, this is yours. Ephraim, over here is yours. Each one of them started to reveal to them the promise. And they know what they had to fight for. If you know healing is yours, salvation is yours, deliverance is yours, the Holy Spirit is yours, he says you have to know it's given to you first. You have to know it's yours. When you know it's yours, when you're sure it's a promise, it's given to you, God will take it back. Then you know what you have to fight for now. All you have to start to do now is to get trained to understand that battle. Now watch. And that battleground is the mind. That's where the battle is being fought, right in the mind. And the battle is wisdom. The enemy you're going to have is wisdom. But that wisdom, Satan brings it to you by the senses of your own spirit. So you is you yourself thinking the thoughts. At least I say it so because you think you're thinking it. Yeah, I shouldn't do that, or I shouldn't do that, or I shouldn't do that. Because he's presenting to you in the sense of his spirit. Reasoning. That's some good boy. Imagination, affection. Oh, he desired. Yeah, yeah, to be chance to get it. But he's not the will of God. See? He's bringing the wisdom to you by the senses of his spirit. Memory. Remember so and so? Didn't move that time. See? And bring something like that. But faith is revelation in your heart that God brings to you by his word. So here it is. Satan comes to you, you can't be sick. You can't be healed. Oh, your case is different. Have nobody of a case like you. You are the unique elite case of the age. You know what I mean? And your case, God will deal with it this way. All right. Your plugs have come out already. Your faith is in where the word for that Satan. You believe in the thought in your mind. You ain't saying, show me that in the Bible, Satan. Somebody had to go through before. You know what I'm saying? Now watch. And right there, when wisdom comes to you, you go back, if I'm saying anything wrong, you just go back and check it with the message. Page 15 and 16, build back and forth. Listen to this. Talking about the fall. Satan began at the principal part to cause the spirit of man to doubt God's word. Where did the fall take place? I'm giving you the Bible now. in Genesis. How did the fall came? He present wisdom to Eve's spirit. She said, we shall not shall die. He said, yeah, you shall be as gods. See? He said, no, he said, you shall not shall die. You shall be as gods. You shall know. And then her thoughts changed around. And she began to see now the tree was good for food. What was that? Reasoning. Which part of her that was? Not her body, not her soul, her spirit. He came right, he flew right into her mind and began to anoint her reasonings and her imaginations. And she saw herself, maybe just like the logos that used to come down the evening, knowing all things. Oh, she loved that picture of herself. See? Then watch. When it comes to Mary now. Now watch Satan coming to Eve, watch God coming to Mary. And the angel quote the word, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth. And right there Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And she opened up her mind, because the mind is the gate of the soul, and she didn't reason, she didn't imagine. Her memory said through the Bible, it wasn't there. But the angel said, quote the scripture, Isaiah 7:14. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And the same place the fall started, redemption started. And the same son which Eve brought forth, came, the wrong way, brought death. Here came for Christ, who is going to bring redemption life. But it was two words coming out of two mouths. It was wisdom and faith, and book was coming to the human mind. Two wombs. Remember I mentioned two wombs? Sure. Let me tell you, the things that God are preaching in this church should never be a defeated church if they have been an obedient church. Listen, overcoming, fighting, strategy. Then he says, if the church could now be put together and knitted together with such that every person would be in one accord without one shadow of doubt anywhere, there would not be a feeble person in the midst of another five men. There would not be nobody here desiring the Holy Ghost, but I would receive it. If you could just get that certain thing fixed. That thing need to be fixed right there is why we don't get nothing. He said this whole church right here could get the Holy Ghost right now in 5 minutes if we could get that thing fixed right there. Now there's where the battle begins, right in your mind. The mind accepts life, which is the word of God, and there brings life. Just your thought doesn't do it. You're not going to think again and get it. No. Your mind is receiving God's word. God, the Spirit is taking the word out of the scripture, which is the spoken word of God, and bringing that word on him. That is the word that has the life. The seed is what has the life. It is the word coming in you and interpreting itself as healing, interpreting itself as salvation, interpreting itself as deliverance. Is the word in you doing it? And just as I'm speaking that word this morning, to lift your faith, to let you see in your mind, get it fixed in your mind. Keep before you what you have need of. Be persistent, knowing God's will for you, and press right through it. And don't let your reasons and imagination, these things, stand before you. The word of God brought into the channel of your thought. See, it's not thought. The thought as Christian Science make it mind over matter. You know, I believe I'll get healed. I believe I'll get healed. No, that's not faith. That's it. When I prayed this morning, Lord, don't let me like Saul. Saul said, I believe God can do it. Let me like David. David knew God would do it. That's the difference. Saul didn't disbelieve God. But Saul didn't have a revelation that God could do it through him right there. But David was getting the thought. That man is uncircumcised. The same way you get the thought, is the devil trying to hold me in this sickness here and give me all this explanation? Is the devil trying to hold me and put fear in my heart and tell me God will provide and meet that need here? See? Oh yeah, I know I mess up my finances, but I repent for it and ask God to direct me from now on. But I believe in God to give me to provide and declare that debt. Amen. Sure. Whatever it is, let me tell you. He said, your mind accepts it. What is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. And your spirit catches the word. And that's the thing that got life in it and brings life into you. Your spirit catches the word. The word is the thing that got life and brings life into you. The trouble of it is that we are standing here with a lot of doubt trying to accept what's out there. Oh, I wish I would look for me. I'll try it. I'll try it this morning. I wish I would look for me. That is it. That is still it. You've got to stop that and come down that channel with the truth of God, and then it goes out itself automatically. It's what on the inside. That's the thing that counts, is the inside. Satan's approach is from the inside, he says. Where's the doubt? Inside of you. Where's the fear? Inside of you. God bringing his faith into you by his word. Satan bringing his doubt and reason to you by his word. And your mind grabs which one you're going to accept. Don't stand here filled with that doubt and trying to grab God out of there. No. Spit that thing out. Renounce that thing. Remember, when the Spirit brings the word and exposes the darkness in your life, exposes the place in your life, you let go of it. Renounce it. When the Spirit shows you that thing is wrong, that thing is in there, renounce it. It can't be artificial. It's got to be real. And only one avenue can come down that, and that's by the way of free moral agency coming to your soul, by your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He'll have no rule over his spirit. His spirit is reason, conscience, memory, affection, imagination. The soul controls the spirit. A man who have no rule over his spirit, a man who have the faith in him to tell reason and imagine, shut up, that means you have unbelief inside there. And unbelief, the soul that sinneth, the soul that disbelieveth, unbelief. That unbelief is just the partner. It's just the support that reasoning, imagination, affection, memory, and these things need. When Brother Brown was teaching us those things about how the human being is made up, he was teaching us the devices of the enemy. Greatest battle ever fought is a message on the devices of the enemy. It is a message on teaching you your enemy strategy. Wisdom versus faith is teaching you your enemy's strategy, so you will know how to fight your enemy in the battleground. If we could catch those things, then our enemy would be disarmed. Let me tell you, it was God, the five-star general in the prophet, teaching us the tactics of the enemy in this message and showing you the different realms of yourself, how it comes through the eye gate. How reason, imagination, how affections are desired. James said, thought conceived, bring lust, lust bring forth sin, sin bring forth death. Death don't come boom, your death dies spiritually. So no, it's that thoughts right in the mind. And you never pull down them strongholds. You never cast down them reasons. You never cast down them imaginations. You start to entertain them thoughts. You start to believe them thoughts. You never bring them thoughts to a thinking man filled of the word to see them thoughts as God thoughts. And you start to be conformed to the way they think in the world. Do you know what he's doing? Message on the devices of the enemy. And then you realize, why are you in the race and you're running the captain? Why are you in the race and you're fighting as one beat in the air? Why are you in the race and there's no progress and no achievement? And why sit and turn your life only to a costume? Costume Christians. See? But then when you look and you see what it is, don't be cheated. Don't be robbed. Is right here for you. You gotta walk right into it. You gotta accept it. You take that word and cast that reason. Let that word drive that imagination out. Don't block that word, no. When it's coming, drive that imagination out. Because it, let me tell you, it's coming from my heart. Who is the overcomer? Sure. If you see this mountain move and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said will come to pass, you can have what you said. You get it? There you are. There's the battleground. If you only get that started first, we are so anxious to see things done. We are so anxious to do something for God. And when we hear about the case and talk about the testimony of the doctor, like the resurrection, the dead, great mighty things our God has done, then we are anxious. And the thing is that we try to reach through the senses and grab us something. So many people, lots of times, have misconstrued the word. I've been misunderstood by making altar calls. Said I wasn't so much an altar call. Not meaning you should make out a call, but somebody get up there, put their arm along and say, oh, Brother John, you know what? Me and you be neighbors all the time. Come up here to the altar and get down. What's he doing? He said, I wish I had a blackboard here. I could show you what he's doing. In other words, he promised me, he said, I could get a blackboard and show you what the ministers would be doing. They're taking the word, they get into the man reasoning. They get into the man memory. They get into the man conscience and bring a guilt. Tell him an old story about your mother. Make him feel sorry for that. I mean, come to the altar there and his soul isn't contacted. He's still a sinner inside there. Just come out religious. He said, but I am taking this word to drive the fear out of your heart. He said, I come with the word to break the spirit of that fear and drive that fear. The greatest plague I find in the Christian church and doubt. And let you see that this thing is real. You can just walk in and take it because it belongs to you. He's trying to work through the soul and affections. That don't work. That's not the avenue. Certainly it isn't. Maybe he's working at a memory through the sense of the soul. Oh, Brother John, you had a wonderful mother. She died long ago. A memory. See, you can't do that. It's got to come down that line of free moral agency. I receive that word, Lord. Lord, I believe what you say. I identify myself with Calvary, Lord. Lord, I know it's on the basis of this healing. I know the devil ain't going to hold me here. No old stories. Give me explanations. But when you die, you say it's finished. You didn't give me the explanations there. See, I ain't going to listen to all these voices here. You see? I'm going to break that some barrier. You see, you don't come because your mother's a good one. You come because you're a good neighbor. You come because that God will call to come. You accept me on the basis. All right? So don't let Satan bluff you this morning. He's only trying to bluff you. A man who has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. It's strange terminology. You know what it means? In the olden days, they used to build a city with a wall for defense. As strong as the wall was so strong the city defenses. Like Jericho. The wall was so great, they had no way they could penetrate it, that God had to come break down the wall to get into the city. See? And you see, a man who have no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. When you have no walls, it means your enemy has free access into the city. You have nothing in your city to keep your enemy out of your city. And once the enemy comes right in the city, everything is broken down. And the soul, faith, controls the spirit, and the spirit controls the body. See? Why God explain them things? Because we never know ourselves. We never know the thoughts we think and where it's come from. We never know how to check those thoughts, how to keep the spirit disciplined in subject control. So God had to come and teach us these things. When we get all confused, he said, no, you don't love with your body, you love with your spirit. It's the spirit making you do that. It's the spirit being brought into a certain atmosphere. See? Then your body, you're going to get the spirit to obey that influence and the act being performed in your body. Is Eve mind get under control? Her mind is pregnant, then she get pregnant physically. But she was already lusting inside her mind already. I wanted to peep at the world in her mind before she did anything carnally. Sure. That's where death came. And he says, when God started, God had to pass through Mary's mind first. She had to accept it. She had to say, yes. Preach on me upon that word. God wasn't just going to hypnotize her and make her conceive. She had to confess it. I received that word. It's God's word. God smote Zechariah dumb when he had many examples in the world, like Hannah and Sarah and them, when an old woman conceived. And Mary didn't even have an example. Just she had to be a prophecy, said, virgin shall conceive. And take the word of the prophet like that. Amen? You think you're ready now? You think in your heart that if you still have a doubt. But if in your heart you know, I believe that word. Because it wasn't just something back there, you tell me about myself. You went into my thoughts. You went into the working of my spirit. You speak all this message this morning right inside of my mind and my spirit. It wasn't outside of that. It was inside of there. Let me tell you, Abraham's battle was right there in the mind. Bible says he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, his eyes were seeing the dead body. His eyes were seeing the doctor chart. His eyes were seeing the doctor's opinion. His reason and imagination was telling him, after all, the man we're talking about, the man studied this, look at the chart, the camera can't take psychology, all these things. You know what I'm saying? But Abraham's faith considered not it. It didn't take into consideration. Against hope, he believed in hope. Daniel stood in the lion's den, the Hebrew boy in the fiery furnace. All of them waiting to overcome. It's in the mind. Right there is where they overcome the battle. Right where they possess the enemy gates. But Abraham walked along there and he see the grass 4 inches high. where 950 beer going to come from. The eyes can't see it. The imagination, it's not there. And the unborn saying, it's not there, but it can be. He's saying, God could create it and put it there. I had to figure out, God tell me what happened there. God tell me that come out of grass there or whatever it is. God tell me before I get the butters, it could be there. That's God's business. You know what I mean? I don't have battle how God can read my mind. No. My mind is carnal. See? You reason this and reason and reason the other. No, you cast that down. And let the mind of Christ come in there. Let the put that this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And then you can never deny what God said. Then, instead of you trying to reason around your obstacle, you get in your bulldozer and you bulldoze your obstacle away. And you don't try to reason around your obstacle and keep all your obstacles. You remove your obstacles. You press through your obstacles. Let this fall into your heart this morning. As we bow our heads and we close our eyes. 12:45. Maybe some of you already feel in your hearts the truly cost of the word, the things that you were looking for, the things that you were believing for, or the situations that you were in that caused you to see a need, but you already feel that God have spoken the word and clapped your mind. And you can look at those same situations now, understanding from God's word what it is. But Abraham says Satan is trying to pluck out your spiritual eyesight and make you walk after the intellectual sense of things and not the sense of the Holy Spirit leading you. He's working every scheme he could to make you see something the wrong way. Because the way you see something is so it is reacted, so it is responded. And if you have a wrong conception of the word, you're going to relate to things wrong. But if you have a true revelation, you would see things as they really are. You would have discernment. Your senses would be exercised to discern good from evil. You'd be able to withstand the enemy. You'd be able to resist the evil. You'd be able to cast down the reasoned imaginations. Maybe you already see your situation, what it really is now, in the true light that it really is, as you look at it through the word that have come. Maybe the word have blown out a lot of flues from your imaginations and your reasons. Maybe your channel is clear now and you realize that God is greater than your problem. Whereby your problem all the time was just kind of was a dark cloud to block out the sunlight. But the sun was still shining. The cloud have to move back. I want to pray for you now. See how much of you days need to be prayed for. And with this faith in your heart, that you can approach God with the understanding. Settle in your heart, certain of God. First, you have to believe what I spoke was God's word. If there's a battle in your mind about that, then you can't even start right. But if you know that God's word, it makes sense to you. Then it's not your mind thinking that, it's the Spirit giving that to you to bring you out of your condition. Then would you be willing to take a whole other lifeline and begin walking? Walking in the steps of this revealed faith of the Son of God, that we live by this faith. How many have an urgent need? Something that is right upon you, that is urgent this morning. Okay, God bless you. We treat you for you. You are come. The rest, you just keep your head bowed and there. Wait, Brother Sammy, Brother Simon, you come and meet these here.
Let Brother Sam just stay in the back and maybe just get him to come. Brother Sam, you just come pray. Help me pray with them. Maybe Brother Bishop will come on. Maybe just sing a bit. Our urgent need, because we want to close at the right time, so I'm not going to take more than we can take today. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Let's just begin singing that song. Faith can calm a troubled sea. Faith can make the desert like a fountain. Faith will bring the victory. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. Have faith in God. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm a troubled sea. Faith can mend the desert like a fire. Now you who are going to mend your seat, I want you to be praying for these. I don't just want you to see no one staring. I want you to pray for them. I want you to get into the spirit and hold these upon your heart. They have an urgent need here. They are coming here to be prayed for, believing that God is going to meet with them this very moment that the prayer has been offered for them, because they have come with faith. That contact can be made in God's word. And if two shall agree as in touching anything, it shall be done. And when we stand praying, whatsoever we ask the Father shall be given. What we bind is bound, and what we loose is loose. This is His promise.
Desert like a fountain, faith will bring a victory.
Have faith in God, have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
God bless and be upon us. God dismisses this place.
Hallelujah. Lord, it's a privilege to come in your presence again, Lord. Feel your presence and be ministered unto, Father. Lord God, we have acknowledged your love towards us again, Lord. Lord God, to take our lives, Lord God, and so show it with your word, Lord God, and where we could see, Lord God, where our faults and all our mistakes and all our shortcomings are, Father. You could reveal these divinely revealed mystery truths, Lord. So simple, Father. Lord, showing us the strategy of the enemy, Lord God. It has kept us down for years, Father.
Yes.
We couldn't know how to overcome, Lord God. But you choose to come, Lord, and send a prophet.
Yes.
To reveal these things, Lord, because you love us and you care for us. You want us to be like you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You could have left us in darkness, in sin, Lord God, in the miry clay, Father. But because of your grace and your love, and your mercy towards us, Lord, you have come. Hallelujah. Reveal yourself and make yourself known unto us so that we could be set on a rock to stay.
Thank you.
The rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Who you are to us,
Hallelujah.
Lord God, Father. And how you have come in simplicity and reveal yourself so that we could understand who we are and what you is to us even this time. But we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. That we could understand, Lord, how to live as better Christians to meet the challenge of the hour in these trying times. Lord, we thank you for your servant in a special way that has dedicated themselves and his life to this purpose. So that we too, Lord God, could be cleansed and be sanctified and be made ready, Lord God, and be prepared so that we could see you face to face, Lord. Just have your way and anoint us, Lord, with these things in such a way, Father. And Lord, we instruct our homes and our children that we could be the right type of example in the jobs or wherever we may be, Father, that they could take note that we have been with Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
That this is our real purpose in coming, Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is our real motive, our real objective, Lord God.
Yes.
We believe you can handle any situation, Lord.
Thank you.
Any problem could be solved. Any questions could be answered, Lord, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We come with sincere hearts and faith, believing, Lord God, with the right expectation that whatever we ask in your name, it shall be granted. Lord, we thank you for ministering to every need.
Thank you
for delivering your people, Father.
Hallelujah.
For we believe it was finished, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God. We believe that when we pray, Lord, a while ago, it is done.
Thank you,
Lord, and we thank you in advance for it, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you from our hearts, Lord. Let's have your way and bless us, Lord, as we continue to stay in the divine channel, Father, and you continue to be with us. And we all will have purpose, Lord, in serving you, understanding the tricks of the devil, Father. Have your own way and bless us, Lord, as we continue to stay in the faith, Father. Bless your servant once again, as his children, his household, Father, beloved wife, Lord God, is in the way, Lord, strengthen in a special way.
Lord.
And let us all, God, as his spiritual children, Lord, be a great incentive for him, Father, as he continues to press the battle, Lord, and keep, Lord, the fresh blood flowing our hearts and bringing us in your presence. We could bring forth fruit that would remain. Have your own way. We ask it in Jesus' name now. Bless us now as we go. Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We are dismissed. We just sing this little song as we go. Amen. Really appreciate being here. And, you know, it just seems that as we sing this little song, my Jesus knows just what I need. Amen. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. And you just stay right there, just hanging by the grace of God and let God give unto you. Amen. Know he is faithful who promised. He is faithful, who promise. Amen. Let Holy Spirit give you comfort through his word. Amen. That fear not, be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God shall be with you whithersoever thou goest. Amen. I'll be with you and in you even till the end. Just take his word and hide it in your heart. You will not disbelieve him, but you would believe him. And know he's settled. Amen. Whatever your need was, maybe you didn't had something too urgent. You know, when you come here, remember, I always depend on your prayers for these here when you pray for them. We are doing this together. We are doing this for the assembly. We are doing this for the families that God have called out to walk in this revealed word. We are prepared, looking for the coming of the Lord. And we want to see each home strengthened. We want to see each individual strengthened. We're going to see each person really get a hold of that victory. Amen. Then God's name could really be praised. And if we love him, we want to see glory come to him, then we would really try to see and strengthen one another. We go, you know, this is pleasing unto him. Amen. So love one another. God bless you. Really appreciate the time we spent yesterday and today. I think, you know, these morning services, you know, it come like I to me, in my heart, it's like that the main services and the others would just be when everybody gather. But like if the spirit, you know, is more direct, is more with more purpose right here, it's so, you know, because like the minds that come, we have a multitude of minds and we could stay in one channel the way we desire to stay in it and just, you know, see it. Each time we come, we could feel being closer drawn to him. We feel that, you know, we've been more strengthened on the inside, that just the areas that in our lives that is hindering us, you know, it's been attended to. Amen. So may God richly bless you. Let us sing, they that wait upon the Lord. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as an eagle.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. God bless you.